Good morning, Grace family. Open your Bibles with me this morning, if you would, to the book of Joshua, chapter number 3. Joshua, chapter number 3. This morning, we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 17 of Joshua, chapter number 3. And as you're turning there this morning, let's back up and get just a little context. You remember, this book details the life of a man that God created and prepared and called to lead his people into the promised land. This book details the life of a great leader by the name of Joshua. And all throughout Joshua's life, God was preparing him for greatness. All throughout Joshua's life, God was teaching him and preparing him and giving him the leadership tools he would need to lead his people into the promised land. In the book of Joshua, chapter number 1, the Bible tells us that Moses had died. And God came to Joshua and told him to step up in great faith and great courage and took over the reins of leadership. God told Joshua to step up in great faith and great courage and lead the people to do something the previous generation didn't have the faith and the courage to do. God called him to lead the people to cross the Jordan River and possess the promised land. And church family, that's where we're going to pick up the story this morning, in the book of Joshua, chapter number 3. So would you stand with me this morning and let's honor the reading of God's word. Joshua chapter number 3, begin reading in verse number 1. Early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out from Shittim and went to the Jordan, where they camped before crossing over. After 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp giving orders to the people. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests who are Levites carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you've never been this way before. But keep a distance of about 1,000 yards between you and the Ark. Do not go near it. And Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. Don't you love that? And Joshua said to the priests, take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass on ahead of the people. So they took it up and went ahead of them. And the Lord said to Joshua, today I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of all Israel, so they may know that I am with you as I was with Moses. Tell the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant, when you reach the edge of the Jordan's waters, go and stand in the river. And Joshua said to the Israelites, come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God. This is how you will know that the living God is among you, and that he will certainly drive out before you the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Hivites, and the Perizzites, and the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Jebusites. Listen, church family, if your name ends in Ites, you're in trouble right here. I want you to let you know. See, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth will go into the Jordan ahead of you. Now then, choose 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe. And as soon as the priests who carry the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, set foot in the Jordan, its waters flowing downstream will be cut off and they will stand up in a heap. So when the people broke camp across the Jordan, the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. And now the Jordan is at flood stage all during the harvest. Yet as soon as the priests who carried the Ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the waters from the upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap a great distance away at a town called Adam in the vicinity of Zarethan, while the water flowing down to the Dead Sea was completely cut off. So the people crossed over opposite Jericho. The priest who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan, while all Israel passed by until the whole nation had completed the crossing on dry ground. Amen? Amen. Thank you, church family. Please be seated. May God bless the reading of his word this morning. Well, friends, as we pick up the story here in Joshua chapter number 3, what we see first of all is that the people of God are waiting on the Lord with great anticipation. The people of God are waiting on the Lord with great anticipation. I love what Joshua says. He says in verse number 5, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. I love that. But as I study this, the first question that comes to mind is, why tomorrow? Why not today? In fact, why not right now? Why the delay? What are we waiting on? In fact, why haven't the people already crossed the Jordan and possessed the promised land? You remember from your study from the Old Testament that some 40 years earlier, they were standing right there. They had been on the border of the promised land. Why didn't they just cross the Jordan then and possess the promised land. Why the delay? What happened? Well, church family, you remember when Moses led the people out of Egypt and he brought them across the Red Sea, he brought them to the border of the promised land. And they decided they were going to send some spies into the promised land to see what was waiting on them. They decided they were going to get a scouting report, if you will, of what was really going on in the promised land. So they chose 12 scouts, 12 spies, one man from each of the 12 tribes of Israel, and they sent them ahead into the promised land to get a scouting report. And these guys come back, and they did what they were supposed to do, and they're not empty-handed. They're carrying with them this large cluster of grapes. In fact, the Bible describes it as two men carrying it on a pole together. It's so large. And as they begin to give the report to Moses, they give a great scouting report. Initially, they're telling Moses great things. The Bible says it this way in Numbers 13, 27. It says they gave Moses this account. "We went into the land to which you sent us. It does flow with milk and honey. Look, here is its fruit." When these guys come back, they say, "Listen, the land is everything God said it would be. The land is flowing with milk and honey. It's amazing. It's wonderful. Look at what God has given us." When the first part of this report was absolutely great. But as the guys kept talking, as you know, the report starts to take a turn for the worst. They say, "But Moses, there is a problem, though. The land is not vacant. The land is occupied. It's already taken. And to make matters worse, Moses, these people are massive. They are huge people. They live in these large fortified cities. Moses, there's no way that we can conquer these people. Moses, there's no way that we can take the promised land." Just that quickly, these spies give a report of great fear and discouragement. Just that quickly, these spies give a report that shows a total lack of faith, a total lack of trust in the one true and living God. And friends, sadly, this attitude swept all throughout the Israelite community. Listen to what the people said in Numbers 14, 2 through 4. It said, "All the Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron. And the whole assembly said to them, 'If only we had died in Egypt or in this desert. Why is the Lord bringing us to this land only to let us fall by the sword? Our wives and children will be taken as plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to go back to Egypt?" And they said to each other, "We should choose a leader and go back to Egypt." Wow. Think about this. After all they had seen, after all they had experienced, after all they'd seen the hand of God do, notice how quickly the people of God took their eyes off of God and placed their eyes on their fear and discouragement. Notice just how quickly they took their eyes off the one true and living God and they rebelled against the Lord. However, church family, however, there were two other spies. There were two other spies. One named Caleb and one named Joshua. Y'all know the names Caleb and Joshua. Caleb and Joshua were a part of the 12 spies. They saw the same things that the other 10 spies had seen. They went and saw the exact same promised land. They came back and they looked and listened to this report from the first 10 spies, but they had a different report. Listen to what they said in Numbers 14, 7 through 9. They said, "The land we passed through and explored is exceedingly good. If the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into that land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and he will give it to us. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will swallow them up. Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them." Now, friends, that's a little different, isn't it? These two guys, Caleb and Joshua, saw the same things the other 10 spies had seen. They're saying, "Listen, all we need to do is trust in God, and he will give us victory. All we need to do is trust in the Lord, and he will keep his promises. All you and I need to do is trust in the one true and living God, and God will do everything he said he will do. We don't have to be afraid. We just need to trust in God." But sadly, you know the word of God. The people would not listen to Caleb and Joshua. They were upset, they were afraid, they were discouraged, and they even talked about executing Caleb and Joshua. They wanted to stone them to death. And oh, friends, just how quickly they turned away from the one true and living God. But friends, I want you to write this down. As I study Scripture, as I study the Word of God, there are consequences to to disobedience. There are consequences to our lack of faith. There are consequences to our rebellion. There are consequences to our disobedience. God told them, because of their lack of faith, because of their lack of trust, because they would not follow God, everyone except Caleb and Joshua, who is 20 years old and older, you will not inherit the promised land. God told them, because of your disobedience, because of your lack of faith, all the adults in that Israelite community, except for Caleb and except for Joshua, you're going to wander in the wilderness until all that adult generation dies. Friends, there are consequences to our disobedience. And as a result, the Israelite people wandered in the wilderness for 38 more years. They wandered in the wilderness a total of 40 years until all that adult generation had died. And now when we pick up the story in Joshua chapter number 3, after all of this time, after all of these years of going to funeral after funeral after funeral, after all these years of wandering in the wilderness, it is now time for the people of God to claim the promises of God. After all of this time of wandering in the wilderness, it is now time to leave that desert of guilt and shame and disappointment, and it's now time for us to claim the promises of the one true and living God. And friends, I love what Joshua tells them. He says, consecrate yourselves. Prepare yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. Don't you love that? Joshua says, get ready. Go back to your tent. Get on your face before God. Consecrate yourself. Purify yourself. Get your hearts ready, because after tomorrow, our lives are going to be different. After tomorrow, our lives are going to be changed forever. After tomorrow, your life will never, ever be the same. You know, friends, can you imagine how excited they were? Can you imagine? Most of these people grew up in the wilderness. They were born in the wilderness. They've been going to all these funerals all of their lives. And now finally, after tomorrow, my life and my circumstances are going to be changed forever. Amen. My friends, let me ask you, can you imagine them going to lay down and trying to sleep that night? Can you imagine after all they had seen, all they had experienced, there's no way they're going to be able to sleep. But let me ask you this morning, have you ever been that excited about anything in your life? You ever been so excited about something that's going on in your life that there's no way that you would be able to sleep? Has that ever happened to you? You ever been laying in your bed at night and there's no way you're going to close your eyes? There's no way I can sleep because I know tomorrow something incredible is going to happen. Has that ever happened to you? It happened to me. Can I tell you why? You see, it was July the 13th of 1990 it happened to me. You see, the next day at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, July 14th of 1990, I was going to get to marry the most beautiful girl I had ever seen in my life. A beautiful girl that's sitting right here on the second row. Her name is Sharon. And the next day at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, I knew my life would be different. After tomorrow, my life would never, ever be the same. Listen, I wasn't scared. Dr. Harden, I wasn't afraid, but I was just so excited because I knew after tomorrow, everything would be different. After tomorrow, my life would never, ever be the same. And church family, let me tell you something. After 29 years of marriage, it keeps getting better and better and better. Amen? God is good. God is good. But friends, what about you? You ever been that excited about anything in your life that you just couldn't sleep? And I was thinking about this. You know, what about in our own personal relationship with God? What about in your own personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you so excited right now about what God's doing in your life, individually and personally, that you just lay in bed at night praising God and praying to God and thanking God for who He is and what He's doing in your life? I'm not talking about the person sitting next to you. I'm not talking about the person sitting behind you. I'm asking you, when was the last time you were so excited about what God was doing in your heart and your life personally that you just had to lay there praising God and there's no way you're ever going to be able to sleep? Friends, did you lay in the bed last night wide awake, excited, in great anticipation of what God was going to do at Grace Baptist Church right here today? Oh, friends, let me just tell you. Sharon and I have been here just over a couple of months now. And we've been watching and we've been listening. I've been meeting with so many of you. And I've been praying and seeking the Lord just like you have. And I've been asking God about what he wants to do at Grace and what he has for us in the future. And friends, let me tell you something. I find myself encouraged and incredibly excited about what's going on right here at Grace Baptist Church. Oh, friends, when I think about what God is already doing here, when I think about the plans he's already giving us to reach East Tennessee, North America, and the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ, I find myself excited, and I can't get enough of it, and I can't get ready to get started fast enough. Friends, God is doing incredible things right here in front of our very eyes. And friends, I'm here to tell you to consecrate yourselves. Prepare yourselves. Get on your face before God. Get ready, because I'm absolutely convinced that this is just the beginning. I'm absolutely convinced that God is getting ready to do something incredible right here, right before our very eyes. Amen? Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves. Prepare yourselves. Get ready, because tomorrow God's going to do amazing things among you. But secondly, this morning, we need to recognize that these great results they were wanting, these great results was going to require great faith and courageous obedience. Great results require great faith and courageous obedience. Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves. Get ready, because tomorrow God's going to do amazing things among you. He told them, when you see the Ark of the Covenant moving, you are to follow it. Don't get ahead of it. Don't walk beside it. You stay back about 1,000 yards. You get ready, because it's time to inherit the promised land. But friends, we must remember there were two major obstacles in the way of them possessing the promised land. One of them was the flooded Jordan River, and the second one was the fact that the land wasn't vacant. The land was occupied, and everyone had to fight to take the land. And for the people of God to overcome these two major obstacles, they're going to have great faith and courageous obedience in the one true and living God. Listen to what God told them to do. Look with me in Joshua 3, 7 through 13. The Lord said to Joshua, today I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of all Israel, so they may know that I am with you as I was with Moses. Tell the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant, when you reach the edge of the Jordan waters, go and stand in the river. And Joshua said to the Israelites, come here and listen to the word of the Lord, your God. This is how you will know that the living God is among you, and that he will certainly drive out before you the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Hivites, and the Perizzites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, and the Jebusites. See, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth will go into the Jordan ahead of you. Now then, choose 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one for each tribe. And as soon as the priests who carry the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, set foot in the Jordan, its waters flowing downstream will be cut off, and they will stand up in a heap. Wow. Now this is a little different, isn't it, from the Red Sea experience? Now think about this just a moment. You know, when Moses led the people out of Egypt, he brought them to the Red Sea, and the people of God were afraid. They saw the Red Sea, and it was flowing, and it was scary, and they looked behind them, and they saw the Egyptian army coming behind them, and they looked in front of them, and they see this flooded Red Sea, and they thought they were going to die. They got mad at Moses, and they thought they were going to die. And you know what happens. Moses raises the staff of the Lord, and Lord sends the wind, and then God parts the water of the Red Sea, and the people of God go through on dry ground right in front of the Red Sea. And the people of God cross on dry ground. They look behind them, and they see the Egyptian army coming in behind them, and they watch as God drowns the Egyptian army right in that same sea that they walked through on dry ground. I mean, it was a beautiful victory for the people of God, a great time for the people of God. And for those waters to part, Moses had to raise the staff of God, and the waters parted. But friends, this time it's going to be a little different, isn't it? You see, these people had grown up in the wilderness. I'm sure they've heard this story all of their lives. For a lot of these people, they were born in the wilderness. And I'm sure year after year after year, they were told about the crossing of the Red Sea. I'm sure year after year after year they were told about coming out of Egypt. You know, I'm sure they had VBS every year in the wilderness, you know, and they had vacation Bible school in the wilderness, and they're singing about coming out of Egypt. They're singing about crossing the Red Sea, right? But this time, it was going to be different. This time, Joshua was not going to raise the staff of the Lord, and the Jordan rivers were going to part. Not this time. No, this time, God was going to require great faith and courageous obedience. God told them this time, the priests were going to have to carry the Ark of the Covenant out into the waters. And when they touched the waters, then the waters would part. The great results they wanted was going to require great faith and courageous obedience. And for that to happen, they were going to have to step into the water. And friends, remember, the Jordan River normally is about 100 feet wide. But at harvest time, like we are here in Scripture, it would grow to about a mile wide. I'm sure that river was scary. I'm sure it was intimidating. But if they wanted the waters to part, they were going to have to step out in great faith and courageous obedience and step in the water. And oh, friends, we need to remember today that there are always two sides to faith. There are always two sides to faith. I love what the Bible says in Hebrews 11 in verse 1. It says, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. That's pretty good, isn't it? Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. You see, so many times faith is described to us or taught to us as believing in things we cannot see. And I think that's very true. Faith is believing in things we cannot see. But hear me today. Faith is also believing in spite of what we do see. Faith is believing in what we cannot see, but faith is also believing in spite of what we do see. I love the way Dr. Blackaby says it this way. He says, faith means trusting God regardless of your circumstances. Faith means looking beyond the current situation and believing that God will keep his promises. You see, the people of God are standing there at the Jordan River, and I'm sure it's flooded, I'm sure it's scary, but they had to have the faith to believe that God would keep his promises. I'm sure that river was scary, I'm sure it was flooded, but they had to have the faith to believe that God could do the impossible right before their very eyes. Sure, they were scared. Sure, they believed that maybe we would drown if we stepped in these flooded waters, but they had to have the faith to believe that God would do what he said he would do. And Grace family, let me ask you today, do we believe here that God will do what he says he will do? Do we believe that God will keep his promises? Absolutely. Absolutely. You see, the truth is sometimes God calls us to do things that just don't make any sense to us. Sometimes God calls us to step out in faith and we don't understand it at all. Has that ever happened to you? It's happened to me. You see, before I was called to ministry, I was an IT guy. I was a computer programmer for 10 years. Sharon and I had been married, and we were living in St. Louis, Missouri. And I had a job with EDS. And then I had a job with ITT Commercial Finance. And I was climbing my way up the corporate ladder. You know, Sharon and I had the American dream already. You know, we had a great marriage. We had a house and a big mortgage. We had two cars. We had two kids at that time. I mean, you could have put us on a magazine cover. Look at the American dream of the Cottrell family. According to the world, we had everything we were supposed to have. We were climbing up the corporate ladder. I had a great marriage, a great family. But let me tell you something. I was restless. I had no peace in my life. I was really wrestling. I was struggling. And I told Sharon, I feel like God is growing me up for something in a hurry, but I have no idea what it is. And during that same time, we were in a great church in St. Louis, and they had prison ministry teams in St. Louis. And so I joined a prison ministry team, and we were going into prisons and doing worship services. We were leading people to Christ and sharing our faith, and I would come home from those weekends, and I'd just be in tears. And I know my wife had thought I was losing my mind. Say, Sharon, I believe God is growing me up for something, but I have no idea what it is. I just don't understand it. And I started praying with my pastor, and I started praying with my mentors, and we found out that God was calling me to preach the gospel. God was calling me into the ministry. He was calling me to leave the business world and surrender to full-time ministry. And I said, I can't do that. How can I do that? I mean, I have a mortgage, I have a wife, I have a job, I have two kids. I can't do that. How could I leave that behind and go into the ministry? I can't do that. I have people counting on me. There's no way my wife is ever going to understand this. There's no way my parents are ever going to understand this. There's no way Sharon's parents are ever going to understand this. I can't, God, I can't go into the ministry. I can't do this. And friends, you know what I learned through that experience? God wants us to learn to trust Him, especially when it doesn't make any sense. Can I talk to y'all for just a minute? God wants us to learn to trust Him, especially when it makes no sense to us. I can't go into the ministry. I can't preach the gospel. Nobody in my family that I know of has ever been in the ministry. I can't do that. But friends, I was so miserable. God made me so miserable, I couldn't even close my eyes and pray without God saying, Kevin, surrender. I couldn't even close my eyes and pray without God saying, Kevin, surrender to the ministry. Step in the water. And I knew if I wanted to live my life for the honor and glory of God, if I knew if I wanted my life to bring glory to God, that Sharon and I were going to have to step out in great faith and courageous obedience and say no to the world and step in the water for the honor and glory of God. And let me tell you something, it has been an amazing journey. God has allowed us to preach the gospel all around the world. And through the good times and the bad times, through the mountain peaks and the valleys, church family, I would not change one second of my call to ministry. See, but the truth is, sometimes God calls us to do things that don't make any sense. And God wants you and He wants me to trust Him, especially when it doesn't make any sense. But friends, let me ask you today, what is God calling you to do, but you just haven't done it? What is that area of your life that God has called you to surrender, but you say, Kevin, I just haven't done it. I've been too afraid. What is it that God is wanting you to do? Where is it God's wanting you to serve? What is God wanting you to give? Where is God calling you to go? Where is it that you haven't surrendered your life to God and said yes and stepped in the water? You see, friends, please hear my heart today. So many times as Christians, we can find ourselves feeling like we're stuck in the Christian life. You ever felt stuck in the mud of the Christian life? So many times we can find ourselves standing at the bank of a flooded river and we look in front of us and we see this scary flooded river and we look behind us and we see this wilderness and we say, God, is this all there is to life? God, is this all there is to the Christian life? God, is this everything you've called me to be? God, is this it? Is this everything you've called me to do? God, is this the best it's ever going to be? And God says, no, step in the water. Step in the water. Friends, what has God called you to do? And you know you need to step up in great faith and courageous obedience and step in the water. You see, friends, what can happen to us so many times is we can get caught trying to hide from God. You ever played hide and seek from God? Okay, I'm the only one that's ever tried to hide from God. Y'all are great. I love it. You see, normally we don't do like Jonah. You know, normally when God calls us to do something, today we don't get on a ship and sail away from God and try to run away. Normally there's not a big storm and we don't get thrown overboard and get swallowed by a big fish until we say, okay, God, I'll do what you called me to do. Could happen, but that's not normally the way it happens today. You see, a lot of times what happens to us as believers in Christ is God can call us to do something and we just get caught doing nothing. God could be calling us to do something and we just stand still. God could be calling us to do something and we just stay in our normal routine when we know that God is calling us to step out in great faith and courageous obedience and do what He's called us to do. Great results require great faith and courageous obedience. For some of us here today, we need to surrender and step in the water. We need to surrender and step in the water and watch God do amazing things right in front of our very eyes. What is God calling you to do? You see, if you're anything like me, so many times we can get caught trying to make a deal with God. You ever played make a deal with God? Y'all finally started to smile at me. I'll keep asking. Y'all ever play make a deal with God? You know, if you're not careful, God will call us to do something or go somewhere, and we'll start walking up the bank of the river, and we're looking at that flooded river, and we'll go, okay, God, listen. I'm listening, God. I'm listening. I got you. I'm listening, all right? Listen, I'm walking up and down this river, but God, listen, I know you're calling me to step in the water, but if you'll just build me a bridge, God, right here. If you'll just build me a bridge, God, I know it's you. I'll know that's you. And I'll walk across that bridge for the honor and glory of God, praising you the whole way through. God, if you'll just build me a bridge and make it safe for me, I will go serve you for the honor and glory of God. Amen? You ever done that? God says, no, step in the water. You say, okay, God, well, listen, I understand that. I knew that one wasn't going to happen. But listen, God, maybe if you'll just drop a tree over the river for me, God. If you'll just drop a tree over the water, listen, I love you, God. I'll do anything for you. I'll even straddle. I'll walk across that tree for you, God. Don't you worry. I'll do it for your honor and your glory, God. And God says, no, step in the water. Great results require great faith and courageous obedience. You say, okay, God, listen, if you're not going to give me a bridge and you're not even going to give me a tree, boy, I tell you what, God, if you just give me a vine, give me a big, strong vine, and I'll swing across that vine like Tarzan, God, for your honor and for your glory. God says, no, step in the water. Great results require great faith and courageous obedience. So let me ask you again. What is God calling you to do, but you haven't done it? Where is God calling you to serve, and you've been too afraid? What is God calling you to sacrificially give, but you haven't done it? What is that area of your life that you know you're not in full surrender? What is that area of your life you know you've been holding back in fear, and God's not going to give you peace until you surrender and you say yes and you step in the water? You know, as a missions pastor, you know what I'm going to say. Where is God calling you to go? You know, friends, God has greatly blessed us here at Grace. I mean, just incredibly blessed us at Grace. And I truly believe that God is calling us, this generation, to be the people that are willing to step up in great faith and great courage and reach East Tennessee, North America, and the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I believe this is the church right here, you and me. I believe God is calling us to step up in great faith and great courage and take the gospel out as ambassadors for Jesus Christ. Telling the truth, the greatest news ever. Telling them that they can be saved by the grace of God through faith in Jesus Christ. Friends, we must never forget we're carrying around with us the greatest news this world could ever hear. And we need to share that with our next door neighbor here in Knoxville, in Tennessee. We need to share that in North America. And then we need to get on every continent of the world with the good news of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, that must be the heartbeat of our church. It must be the heart cry of every one of us here. It must be our DNA of who we are. You see, church family, please hear me today. Missions is not just something we do. Missions is who we are. Missions is not just something we do. Missions is who we are. It's our identity. It's who God has called us to be. And friends, I'm challenging you today. Whatever God is calling you to do, step up today in great faith and great courage and step in the water and watch what God will do. What is that area of your life that you know you need to lay down today? What is that area of your life you know you need to surrender? You see, great faith and courageous obedience says, come on, let's step in the water and let's watch the waters part and let's watch God do great things for His honor and His glory. But fear says, you know what, Kevin, let's just stay right here. I like things just the way they are. Great results require great faith and courageous obedience, church family. Friends, as I look at the Word of God here, God was calling them to step into that flooded water. He was calling them to step into the river. And as we study the Word of God today, it's very clear that God always, always, always keeps His promises. God always, always, always keeps His promises. There are always blessings in obedience. There are blessings in obedience. You look at the Word of God, and the people of God did exactly what God told them to do. They stepped out in faith. They carried that ark into those flooded waters, and the Jordan River parted, and once again, the people of God walked through on dry ground and entered the Promised Land. Everything happened exactly the way God said that it would. God always, always, always keeps His promises. There are blessings in obedience. And friends, hear me. After all of this, after all they had seen, after all they had done, God wanted them finally to remember what the Lord had done. He wanted them to remember what the Lord has done. And Lord, you and I must always remember what the Lord has done. Look with me. Let's flip over to Joshua 4 real quickly. Let's go to the next chapter and look at verses 1 through 7 real quick. When the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, "Choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe, and tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from right where the priest stood, and carry them over with you, and put them down at the place where you stay tonight." So Joshua called together the 12 men he had appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe, and he said to them, "Go over before the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan. Each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of Israelites, to serve as a sign among you. In the future, when your children ask you, 'What do these stones mean?' tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off, and these stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever." Don't you love that? All throughout the Word of God, God tells His people to remember what the Lord has done. God told them to set up a memorial, set up a couple of memorials to remember this day, to remember what the Lord has done, and tell your children and your great-grandchildren and your grandchildren, tell them what the Lord has done. God wanted them to remember this great faith story. God wanted them to remember what the Lord had done. But oh, friends, let me ask you this morning, what are the great faith stories of your life? What are the great faith stories of your life that you are holding on to so tightly? What are those times in your life when you look at the circumstances of what was going on in your life and you say, only God could have done that. Only God could have intervened like that. Only God could have made that happen. Wow. What are those faith stories that you're holding so preciously to your heart that you just can't wait to tell your children? You just can't wait to tell your grandchildren. If God allows you, you just can't wait to tell your great-grandchildren about the greatness of the one true and living God and what the Lord has done. Friends, you and I must always remember what the Lord has done. And friends, I think we just need to pause today. I think we just need to pause today and thank God. We just need to pause today and thank God and give Him all the honor and all the glory for everything He has done in the past at Grace Baptist Church. I think we need to take a moment and pause and just thank God and give Him all the honor and all the glory for everything He's doing right now in the life of this church, Grace Baptist Church. I think we need to pause and thank God and give Him all the honor and all the glory for all the things He's getting ready to do, not only in the life of this church right here, but all around the world. Church family, I come here today with a message. I believe for Grace Baptist Church, we're just getting started. I believe for Grace Baptist Church, God is just warming up. I truly believe for us, the best is yet to come. Praise God. Now, when you came in this morning, everybody should have gotten a fork. Did you get a fork? You're all sitting there going, why did they give me a fork? We having cake? We having lunch? What's going on? I want to close today with one of my favorite stories of all time. You've heard this story over and over again all throughout your life, but I love this story. It's a story about a young pastor that was just getting started in his church. He was in his first church, his first congregation, and he found out that there was a woman in the church that had been diagnosed with a terminal illness, and she was dying. She didn't have very much longer to live. And so she called and asked that the pastor would come to her house and sit down with her and read some scripture and plan out her funeral service. And he said, of course I'll do that. I would love to do that. So he goes out to her house and they spend some time together, and she shows him the scriptures she wants read at her funeral, and they plan out the funeral service. And he thinks he's done. He thinks he's getting ready to leave. And she says, Pastor, there's just a couple of more things that I'd like you to do for me. She said, Pastor, I want you to make sure that I get buried with my Bible in my left hand. She said, I love the Word of God. I've been studying the Word of God all my life. And would you make sure I get buried with my Bible in my left hand? And he said, of course, man, we'll make sure that happens. And he gets up and he's trying to leave. And she says, well, Pastor, hold on, there's one more thing. She says, this may seem a little strange, but she said, I want to be buried with a fork in my right hand. And he said, okay, but tell me why. She said, well, all my life I've been in a Baptist church. And all my life in church, we would go to potlucks and we would eat these great meals together. And we would eat the main course, and they would come and they'd start clearing the plates. And somebody would always lean over and say, hey, keep your fork. The best is yet to come. So I knew I needed to hold on to my fork because I knew the desserts were coming. The cake was coming. The pie was coming. And I was going to keep my fork because the best was yet to come. She said, Pastor, when people come by my casket and they see that fork in my right hand, I want you to do something for me. She said, you tell them I knew Jesus Christ as my Savior, and I'm keeping my fork because for me, the best is yet to come. And Grace family, I come here today with a message for you. God is just getting started here. God is just warming up here. God is calling us to reach East Tennessee, North America, and the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's time for us to consecrate ourselves. It's time to get excited. And Grace family, you keep your fork because for us, the best is yet to come. Amen. Why don't you stand with me this morning and let's pray. Would you bow your hearts with me this morning? You know, friends, I don't know where this message might find you today. Maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor Kevin, listen, I know God has been calling me to plug in. I know God is calling me to serve, but I've been afraid, Pastor Kevin, and it's time for me to surrender. Well, friends, if that's where you are, I pray you would come down front right now. Get on your face before God at the altar and surrender that to Him. What is it in your life that God is calling you to do? It's time to lay it down. It's time to surrender. Maybe for some of you, it's time to go get your passport. Maybe for some of you, God is going to call you to travel the world with us and share the good news of Jesus Christ. If that's what God's calling you to do, don't be afraid. Step out in faith and great faith and courageous obedience and watch God do amazing things for His glory. What is God calling you to do today? And you just haven't done it. It's time to surrender. It's time to step in the water. But friends, maybe you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Maybe you're here today and you don't have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe you never realized that Jesus Christ loved you so much that He took all of your sins upon Himself and He died on the cross for your sin. And they buried Him in a tomb, and 3 days later, He came back to life. He conquered sin. He conquered death. And He says, if you'll believe in Me, if you'll trust in Me, I will forgive you of all of your sin. If you believe in Me, if you trust in Me, I will save you by the grace of God through faith in Jesus Christ. Friends, maybe you're here today, and you need to trust Jesus. Well, friends, in just a moment, we're going to have a time of invitation. Our pastors are going to be down front, ready to pray with you. We have incredible decision counselors here that want to talk to you and pray with you. Listen, whatever God is telling you to do, please don't leave here without obedience. Please don't leave here without getting right with God. Heavenly Father, I thank You so much for the honor it is to be called children of God. God, I thank You that You love us with a perfect and an everlasting love. God, I pray for every person at the sound of my voice. God, give us the faith, give us the courage to be who You called us to be. Give us the faith, give us the courage to step into the water in courageous obedience to live our lives for Your honor and for Your glory. God, we love You. We thank You for this time. For it's in the perfect name of Jesus Christ we pray. And all God's people said, amen.